This is Jay Sekulow. In an unprecedented move, the special counsel refutes BuzzFeed.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
The special counsel's office released this statement in response to BuzzFeed's reporting. BuzzFeed's description of specific statements to the special counsel's office and characterization of documents and testimony obtained by this office regarding Michael Cohen's congressional testimony are not accurate.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
It was remarkable what we saw happening for 24 hours in the media on the basis of the report that appeared in BuzzFeed. And I just think it's one of the reasons why people are so frustrated with many in the national media and the constant obsession on this.
And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the broadcast. Well, quite a weekend that we had. If you caught me on Hannity on Friday night, late on Friday, we got word that the special counsel, in a really unprecedented move, refuted the report that came out from BuzzFeed. And BuzzFeed's report started literally a feeding frenzy of talk about impeachment and additional investigations. If you don't know what the scope was, here is the headline from the BuzzFeed report. This is what it said. President Trump directed his attorney, Michael Cohen, to lie to Congress about the Moscow Tower project. Now, that, of course, is a highly charged, as you can imagine, headline. And it was an attention-grabbing headline, to say the least. Now, that took place at 10 o'clock on Thursday night. By Friday at about 7 o'clock, 6:30, 7:30 in that ballpark, the special counsel's office, in an unprecedented move, issued the following statement. BuzzFeed's description of specific statements to the special counsel's office and characterization of documents and testimony obtained by this office regarding Michael Cohen's congressional testimony are not accurate. This is the first time where you had the special counsel refuting a statement, which, Harry, in and of itself tells you not only how wrong the BuzzFeed report is, although BuzzFeed's still doubling down on this and is asking for specifics of what the special counsel means. I'm going to break that down in a little bit. But this was really an unprecedented move.
Absolutely unprecedented. And I think the media was left scratching its collective heads in terms of determining when and if the special counsel had issued similar statements in the past. I think the real question here, Jay, is was there an actual news scoop, or alternatively, was there a fictional report fueled by anti-Trump hatred on steroids? While it is possible that the media has become the enemy of the people, it is clear that the media, including BuzzFeed, has become the enemy of the truth.
Well, that's no doubt about that. I mean, the fact is, though, they're still doubling down.
They really are. And here's the thing that I think is striking about all of this. According to BuzzFeed themselves, they contacted Peter Carr before they went with the story.
Right.
To say,
he's the spokesman
we're going
for
with the
Justice
story.
Department.
Yeah.
Right.
And he said, no comment. The next day when it came out, he of his own volition had to comment because the story was so far off the mark.
It was not just off the mark. It was so inflammatory. And then, Than, you immediately had any calls on around the corner from you, a block away. They were ready to start the impeachment proceedings.
Yeah, you think when the facts and the evidence would clearly point the other way, that would send a House Intelligence Committee in another direction, like maybe looking into the actual security threats to the United States. But no, the chairman of the House Intelligence Committee, Adam Schiff, says that they are still going to investigate this, even though it was an up and open and shut case in a matter of a couple hours. Jay, I think it tells me one thing. They are so committed to attacking the president that they're willing to overlook evidence and facts no matter what they look like. But yeah, Adam Schiff, at this point, he says he's still going to investigate.
Yeah, it's pretty unbelievable. Your reaction to all this, 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-3110. BuzzFeed still standing by their story. The special counsel saying the story's not accurate. What does that all mean? We'll talk about it when we come back from the break. We'll take your calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. Don't forget, support the work of the American Center for Law and Justice, ACLJ.org. And also, you should be signed up for our emails, newsletter alerts. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter. You can do all of that. And I've got a page. Jordan has a page. Both of us have Twitter feeds as well. We encourage you to do all of that. And again, if you want to talk to us on air, your reaction to this BuzzFeed report and the media accountability issue, 1-800-684-3110. So many times I said, if it's true, what does that mean? Back with more in a moment.
A Muslim medical doctor in training publicly threatened to, quote, purposely prescribe the wrong meds to Jewish patients. Laura Kalab, a first-year resident at the prestigious Cleveland Clinic, brazenly said, quote, Allah will kill the Jews. She called Jewish people, quote, dogs, and is brutally unsympathetic about the Holocaust. This anti-Semitism turns the Hippocratic Oath, quote, do no harm, on its head. Unsurprisingly, Kalab is part of the BDS, Boycott, Divestment, and Sanctions Movement, further exposing BDS for what it is, thinly veiled anti-Semitism. At the ACLJ, we've been aggressively fighting the BDS movement and these sickening attacks on the Jewish people in Israel. Now we're sending a formal complaint to the medical board in Ohio. Kalab and any other medical professional who espouses this deadly level of hatred for Jews should lose their medical license. Take action with us now. Add your name to our petition to stop vile anti-Semitic attacks on Jews. You can add your name online, aclj.org. It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Israel is facing unprecedented challenges. Enemies abound. ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran all pledge to wipe Israel from the face of the earth. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital, presents clear, irrefutable evidence to remove any doubt about Israel's right to exist. And the book dispels legal myths purported by Israel's enemies. Get your copy today, Jerusalem, a Biblical and Historical Case for the Jewish Capital. Available now at Amazon or Barnes & Noble.
Today is Martin Luther King's birthday celebration. It's a national holiday. I've had a lot of studied a lot of Dr. King's writing and a lot of Dr. King's strategy, especially on the nonviolent civil disobedience issue, because that became a hallmark of the pro-life movement 20 years after Dr. King, or 30 years after Dr. King had first implemented this nonviolent, we call social protest, nonviolent approach to dealing with contemporary cultural issues. In the 1950s and 60s, it was the issue of race and discrimination. In the 1980s and 90s, it was the abortion issue and this nonviolent civil disobedience approach. But there's another aspect of Dr. King you may not know, and we'll get back to the main topic in a moment, and that is his position on the state of Israel. So let me play for you some sound from Dr. King in 1967.
The whole world must see that Israel must exist and has the right to exist, and is one of the great outposts of democracy in the world.
Now, put that in place with what's going on today with some that are left of center on the anti-Israel move, and you see that the leader of the civil rights movement, one of the world's leaders, not just here in the United States, understood the importance of Israel's right to exist. And that was right about the time of the Six-Day War. So it was a conflict zone, of course, already. And Dr. King, a little fact you probably did not know about Dr. King. Now, Wes, your dad, was it your father that worked on the civil rights movement?
Yes, yeah, right, okay. In South Georgia, yeah. Sure did. Yeah.
In South Georgia, in what years?
In 1964 to 69. Yeah. Yeah, rough time. Yeah. But, you know, Dr. King, people forget that his primary vocation, he was a pastor.
Yeah.
And so all of his work in the civil rights movement and the political impact he had was based in a deep, profound love of God. His PhD, you know, in theology, he was truly a great American. His dream that people would be judged by the content of their character, not the color of their skin, is often betrayed by people who have followed in his footsteps because of the polarization and people unjustly playing the race card. That was not what Dr. King was about, and he was definitely pro-Israel based in his theology.
Yeah. Harry, what do you think the lasting legacy of Dr. King is now all these years later? This last year, Pam and I went to the Lorraine Motel and that whole Civil Rights Museum, and I mean, I've studied this for a long time, but what do you see as the lasting legacy?
Well, I think the lasting legacy of Martin Luther King is that if you really look at his life and work, it stands in stark contrast with the approach taken by political elites on the left today. no longer do they believe in truth. No longer do they really believe in the anti-discrimination principle. No longer do they believe that people should be judged by the content of their character. Instead, they believe people should be judged by their identity, even if it's self-created. Yep. And so I think his lasting legacy is to uphold truth, whether it has to do with Israel or with respect to race relations in America.
There you have it. So again, the country celebrates the legacy of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. All right, we're going to go back to the topic at hand, and this is the BuzzFeed statement. Let me read you what the chief, the special counsel actually said. I think this is important to put in context. So BuzzFeed came out with that really very aggressive headline. I mean, a jaw-dropping headline in one sense. President Trump directed his attorney to lie to Congress about the Moscow Tower project. You can imagine that is quite a statement. And then you had hours and hours of, if this is true, this is the end. If this is true, it's a crime. By the way, the if it's true thing, I want everybody to understand this. That whole predicate, they try to divorce themselves or give themselves space in case it wasn't true, because I saw Maggie Haberman on the New York Times and others say, we've not been able to verify this. Washington Post, we're not able to verify this. We've tried to verify it. We can't verify it. And then other people were saying, well, if it's true, but, you know, well, here we know it wasn't true. Now, what's also important about that is they went through a 20-hour narrative of if it was true, what it meant. Well, that's like saying, you know, if somebody went across the street and robbed a bank, they'd be guilty of robbing a bank. Yes. If someone went across the street and robbed a bank, they'd be guilty of robbing a bank. If they didn't do it, by the way, they would not be guilty of it. So that was a non sequitur, the whole way they did it. But here's what the special counsel said, and this is what people are trying to parse it, but I think what was said in the Washington Post and a couple of other articles, but you can't parse this. First of all, unprecedented. Special counsel's never done this. Bob Mueller's office has never come out and addressed. There's been plenty of false news reports, and he's never come out and addressed it. Here's what he said, though. Number one, BuzzFeed's description of specific statements to the special counsel's office. So now we're talking about specific statements to the special counsel's office. That's one. Two, and characterization of documents, that's one and two. So it's both specific statements, characterization of documents, and three, and testimony obtained by this office regarding Michael Cohen's congressional testimony are not accurate. Now, I don't know how much clearer they could be. BuzzFeed, however, comes back and says, as we've reconfirmed our reporting, we've seen no indication that any specific aspect of our story is inaccurate. We remain confident in what we've reported, and we'll share more as we are able. Now, here's the problem with this. Number one, their report is based on two federal law enforcement officials involved in the or familiar or involved with the investigation. So you got a leak from the FBI? That would be problematic. Or a leak from investigators associated with the special... I mean, it would be completely... You know, again, this is what's happened to all of these people that have gotten in trouble at the FBI. Leaks to the press. Then they say it was based on documents that were presented and documents that were reviewed from Trump Organization and so forth. I can tell you that's not correct. Okay? And then three, right? They doubled down on it once the unprecedented move of Bob Mueller's office, Peter Carr, Bob Mueller's office, is to say this is not correct. It's inaccurate. So I look at this as a lawyer, Harry's been practicing law 40 years, and I'm trying to say, what wiggle room are they talking about here?
Well, I don't think
it's a very specific statement.
You're precisely correct. It's a three-part refutation of the claims made by BuzzFeed. But I think the problem here is that the media frenzy following the BuzzFeed story, it follows a pre-existing pattern that includes the claim that, for instance, firing James Comey constituted a form of obstruction of justice, or second, that the president was guilty of collusion despite the fact that collusion is not a crime and there's not a scintilla of evidence of collusion. So the BuzzFeed story and the media frenzy that followed it does not necessarily focus on evidence. It doesn't focus on the truth. It focuses on a narrative which is consistent with the media's fixation on anti-Trump bias and ignorance, which leads them to make enormous mistakes with respect to reporting. This does a disservice to the American people.
So, Than, you said that it's one thing for the media to be all over this, but another thing for Congress. Yet, I mean, Adam Schiff says Congress has a fundamental interest in two things. First, in getting the bottom of why any witness who came before us lied and who else was knowledgeable that this was a lie. But yet, they're saying, and I, again, not talking about the testimony per se, is that they made these statements, Adam Schiff's, yesterday, after the special counsel had already said these were not correct. These were inaccurate.
Yeah. After the case had already been closed, essentially, Jay. But look, I think our listeners really have to consider the source here. And I'm not just going to speculate here. I'm going to actually tell you what Adam Schiff has done in other cases. He's engaged in exactly what you just described from the media, the if it's true scenario, Jay. Because remember, he knew for a fact that it was true that Bruce Orr had told the FBI that Christopher Steele was an unreliable source. And yet he continued to go to the media time and time again and advance that exact narrative that flew in the face of the truth. So, Jay, Adam Schiff is a guy that the last couple of years on this case and others, he has demonstrated that he does exactly what Harry just said. He picks a narrative and then he spins whatever news comes out to fit that narrative, no matter what the facts or the evidence say. But Jay, this is not without consequence. This is the chairman of the House Intelligence Committee. And by the way, when he said in that same article that he was going to call Michael Cohen to testify and he'd subpoena him if necessary, he knows good and well that Michael Cohen is scheduled to testify at House Oversight on February 7th. There would be no subpoena necessary. What is he looking to do, Jay? He's looking to keep that camera fixed on him.
All right, let's go ahead. We're taking your calls, 1-800-684-3110. I want your reaction to all of this. Let's go to Robert, who's calling from Maryland. Hi, Robert.
Hi. How you doing, Jay?
Good.
I wanted to also to say thank you for your tribute to Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.
Sure.
And for the legacy that he left behind. For equal rights for all Americans, particularly Black Americans,
yep.
And also making the connection between the nonviolent tactics that he and the civil rights movement used in the 50s and 60s and was being employed during the pro-life movement in the late 1980s and early 1990s, especially by Operation Rescue.
Yep.
Also wanted to ask you, Jay, what impact does this BuzzFeed article have, you know, concerning Michael Cohen's testimony in relationship to Donald Trump's so-called collusion with Russia? Now that the article has been proven to be not true in its actual factual statements, what impact is that going to have on the Russia collusion investigation by the special counsel?
I think what the special counsel did there, they had to react to this, but you could not react to this. It was such a major statement that it impacted the not just the president but the office of the presidency. And what I think is clear here is that the statements in BuzzFeed were not correct regarding the president and instructing his lawyer to lie to Congress, and that the evidence that they had, the documents and the specific statements, just are not accurate. So I think it gives you a sense of where they are on that inquiry. Now, it doesn't really tell you about the rest of it, but as to this report, I think it's very clear. Thanks for calling in, Robert. We're taking your calls, 1-800-684-3110. What do you think about the media's response on this and Congress's as well? 800-684-3110.
It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Israel is facing unprecedented challenges. Enemies abound. ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran all pledge to wipe Israel from the face of the earth. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital, presents clear, irrefutable evidence to remove any doubt about Israel's right to exist. And the book dispels legal myths purported by Israel's enemies. Get your copy today, Jerusalem, a Biblical and Historical Case for the Jewish Capital. Available now at Amazon or Barnes & Noble. A Muslim medical doctor in training publicly threatened to, quote, purposely prescribe the wrong meds to Jewish patients. Laura Kalab, a first-year resident at the prestigious Cleveland Clinic, brazenly said, quote, Allah will kill the Jews. She called Jewish people, quote, dogs, and is brutally unsympathetic about the Holocaust. This anti-Semitism turns the Hippocratic Oath, quote, do no harm, on its head. Unsurprisingly, Kalab is part of the BDS, Boycott, Divestment, and Sanctions Movement, further exposing BDS for what it is, thinly veiled anti-Semitism. At the ACLJ, we've been aggressively fighting the BDS movement and these sickening attacks on the Jewish people in Israel. Now we're sending a formal complaint to the Medical Board in Ohio. Kalab and any other medical professional who espouses this deadly level of hatred for Jews should lose their medical license. Take action with us now. Add your name to our petition to stop vile anti-Semitic attacks on Jews. You can add your name online, aclj.org.
So, you know, BuzzFeed story comes out. Special counsel says BuzzFeed's description of specific statements to the special counsel's office and characterization of the documents and testimony obtained by this office regarding Michael Cohen's congressional testimony are not accurate. That does not stop members of Congress from going forward with their, almost not hysterical calls for impeachment, but pretty close to. I mean, there were more calls for impeachment, and this is going to, the if true, impeachment must have been the most frequent refrain. Here is Adam Schiff, this number 15, on the air being questioned about this.
Are you still going to investigate the claims?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Congress has a fundamental interest in two things. First, in getting to the bottom of why a witness came before us and lied.
Mm-hmm.
And who else was knowledgeable that this was a lie.
And you will be asking questions of Michael Cohen?
Yes. We've
He'll
given Michael Cohen a date that we'd like him to come in, either voluntarily or if necessary, by subpoena.
So, Fan, this is what you were getting to before. So they've said the gold standard has been the special counsel. Don't, you know, interfere with Bob Mueller. Don't. We got to protect Bob Mueller's investigation. This is the gold standard. And then Bob Mueller comes out and says, well, this report is not accurate, through his press spokesperson. And they say, well, that doesn't matter. We're going to investigate anyways, even though Bob Mueller says it's not accurate.
The gold standard is Adam Schiff's narrative. That's what the gold standard is for Adam Schiff. And look, I would say two things. First of all, and we've been talking about this narrative of leading into a statement by saying, if true. Well, Adam Schiff has been pointing to the special counsel, and the special counsel said that the description in BuzzFeed was not accurate. That means not true, but yet Adam Schiff continued to predicate his statement with if true. The other thing is, Jay, he's trying to spin up the sensationalization of this by saying, I'm going to subpoena Michael Cohen if I have to. Guess what? Michael Cohen has already agreed to voluntarily submit testimony to another committee here in a couple of weeks. He knows good and well that a subpoena is not something that he would have to go down if he wanted to investigate this. But Jay, here's the thing that should really concern people. When he knows that there is not a factual basis for moving forward on something, if it matches his narrative, Adam Schiff is going to proceed anyway because that's what he's after.
Harry, what's your read on the whole thing?
Well, my read is exactly the same as Fan's. Essentially, Congress has become irresponsible, particularly in the House under the leadership of Adam Schiff and Nancy Pelosi. They are increasingly focused on investigating stories, whether they're fictional or not. So many of these members of Congress, if you will, are simply failed novelists. And so they are focused on fictional stories. They're trying to gin up controversy in order to attack the president and in order to gain money, if you will, fundraise off of these stories. Tom Perez, the head of the DNC, issued a huge fundraising appeal grounded in the BuzzFeed story. So it really doesn't matter to Tom Perez whether the story is true or not. It has to do with how much money he can raise off of the story.
Well, and this is, you know, they're trying to paint a narrative. The thing that's ironic to me is they painted the Mueller investigation, as I said, as the gold standard. This is what we have to look at. This is the thing that's important. This has to come to completion. We got to take what he says seriously. We want access to his report. I'll talk about that in the second half hour of broadcast. But when he comes out and says something as unprecedented as he did, and I'll read it again because it's worth reading again, but this is from the Office of Special, the Special Counsel's Office, his spokesperson, Peter Carr. BuzzFeed's description of specific statements to the special counsel's office, that's one, and characterization of documents, that's two, and testimony obtained by this office, that's three, regarding Michael Cohen's congressional testimony are not accurate. But they're not taking that as gospel, so to speak, there, Wes?
No, absolutely not. They're allowing their loathing of President Trump to become an obstacle to their professional credibility. And it's going to be a rough 2 years with the Democrats in charge of the House. I predict their being in charge will last about 2 years because the American people are getting pretty sick of this. You take, for example, Representative Engel from New York, who has terminated the subcommittee on terrorism in order to investigate the president. And yet he does that the same week that five Americans are killed by terrorists.
Yeah.
You know, it's insanity writ large.
Yep.
With the Democrats concerning wanting to investigate the president.
Chris Wallace had Representative Jim Clyburn on. Same kind of thing. Here you go.
Should your members be more cautious? Because it almost seemed in this rush to judgment as if there are a lot of House Democrats that want to impeach the president.
Well, Chris, when you preface your statement with, if this is true, that to me gives you all the cover you need. And I would say that if it is true. Now, if they had said something as if it were true, then that would be one thing to be concerned about. But they've all said, if this is true.
Gives you all the cover you need to accuse the president of the United States of a crime. Again, it goes back to my example previously. If someone walked across the street and robbed a bank, they'd be guilty of robbing a bank if they did it. So are you going to say, well, they must have done it, because if they did it, it would have been a crime. So this is the problem with this whole, and we're going to, in the second half hour, we're going to get into this deeper. I want your reaction to all this. What was your reaction to BuzzFeed? What was your reaction to the media responses since then? We'll take your calls and comments at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. But then the problem here is, right around the corner from us in Washington, what's going to happen? They're already ginning this thing up to a higher level.
Yeah, I mean, I think the bottom line, Jay, is there are no guardrails when it comes to Adam Schiff's determination to attack the president. There are no guardrails when it comes to Speaker Pelosi's determination to attack the president. And, Jay, just on those two fronts, I mean, I really want people to hear this. Adam Schiff is the one responsible for correcting some of the abuses inside the FBI and FISA, and yet he's focused on a story that's already been knocked down by the special counsel. Speaker Pelosi is the one primarily responsible for getting the House to engage in the border security crisis that is currently taking place. What is she focused on? She's focused on this as well. Jay, I think Wes is right. If Democrats are going to continue to go down this path instead of engaging the real issues that they are tasked with working on under the Constitution, I think their time and power will be short-lived.
Well, I mean, look, they're running with this despite the fact that you have an unprecedented move here. And that's what I want to emphasize. Unprecedented move, the special counsel's office to even respond to this. There's been plenty of things where I wish they would have responded to some of the false media reports, but they did respond to this one, and in an unprecedented way, saying it was that the specific statements, the characterization of documents, and the testimony obtained by this office regarding the testimony to the Congress are not accurate. What else could they possibly have said? But it does not give any pause to those that are bent on bringing this up as a political issue that they've turned it into.
I think you're precisely correct. So if it is true that Representative Clyburn is a truth teller, perhaps we should believe him despite the contrary evidence. What is the contrary evidence? The special counsel has issued a three-part refutation of BuzzFeed's claims. First, BuzzFeed's description of specific statements to the special counsel's office was false. Second, BuzzFeed's characterization of the documents was false. Third, the testimony obtained by the special counsel's office was not accurate. So it is clear beyond question that the Democratic narrative is indeed a false one. And so I think the American people should listen to the truth, and they should deny Clyburn and Adam Schiff's credibility.
I'll tell you this. This is was an unprecedented day. I circle this one and say historic. If you had the special counsel come out and refute that, I'm glad they did. We appreciated that they did take action on this. It was appropriate. You had to. How could you not? The accusation was so significant and not backed up by evidence, fact, or testimony or documents that they had to come out. I'm glad they did. All right, we're going to take a break. We're here for another 30 minutes. If you don't get the full hour of the broadcast, go over to ACLJ.org or over to Facebook and Periscope, and we're simulcasting it right there. You can get it. Of course, SiriusXM, a number of stations carry the whole broadcast. We'll take your calls when we come back at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. Back with more in just a moment.
A Muslim medical doctor in training publicly threatened to, quote, purposely prescribe the wrong meds to Jewish patients. Laura Kalab, a first-year resident at the prestigious Cleveland Clinic, brazenly said, quote, Allah will kill the Jews. Kalab and any other medical professional who espouses this deadly level of hatred for Jews should lose their medical license. Take action with us now. Add your name to our petition to stop vile anti-Semitic attacks on Jews. You can add your name online, ACLJ.org.
We will fight. Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
The special counsel's office released this statement in response to BuzzFeed's reporting. BuzzFeed's description of specific statements to the special counsel's office and characterization of documents and testimony obtained by this office regarding Michael Cohen's congressional testimony are not accurate.
And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Let me read you something. I normally don't do this, but I've got an op-ed that's going up on FoxNews.com on an opinion piece that I've written, and it's called The Feeding Frenzy Launched by the Bogus BuzzFeed Story is Dangerous. Now, just so everybody knows, the special counsel's office, Bob Mueller's office, said that the headline was, you know, President tells his lawyer to lie to Congress. Now, eventually, about 18 hours later, the special counsel's office comes out and says, BuzzFeed's description of specific statements to the special counsel's office and characterization of documents and testimony obtained by this office regarding congressional testimony of Michael Cohen are not accurate. So there you have it. I've written this. The level of animosity aimed at President Trump by those in the media reached new heights with the publication of BuzzFeed's bogus report alleging, with the use of unnamed sources, that President Trump told his attorney to lie in congressional testimony about his business dealings with Russia. The moment the story was published, the liberal media jumped for joy and the drumbeat started, repeating the falsehoods, beginning with the common mantra used by many in the media. I heard this hundreds of times, by the way. If it's true, and you can fill in the blanks from there, if it's true altogether now, everybody can say it. If it's true, the president committed a crime and should be impeached. That's like, as I said, by the way, if someone walked across the street and robbed a bank, if it's true, they're guilty of robbing a bank. The collective call for impeachment permeated the print media, the liberal airwaves for hours. It didn't matter that the president immediately denied the allegation. It didn't matter that none of the mainstream media could confirm the BuzzFeed report, including the Washington Post, CNN, MSNBC. None of them could confirm it. Something that usually happens quickly when a story like this breaks. Normally you get other confirmations. That didn't happen. This did not go unnoticed by some in the media, and I quote from an editorial in the Washington Examiner, where the Washington Examiner wrote, we had drafted an editorial warning people to exercise caution about this big story. Given the media track record under the president, we didn't need to be fortune tellers to issue this particular warning. But for many journalists whose loathing of the Trump administration has become an obstacle to their professional credibility, this story was just too good to check. People kept believing in it, wanting to believe it, even after two reporters behind the story gave conflicting accounts of whether they had seen the documents in question. I'm going to play those in probably after the next segment. In what can only be described as a rare move, the special counsel issued its statement saying it was inaccurate. I've read that to you. What does this tell us? It tells us this rush to judgment, Harry, which his lawyers were never supposed to do, but the media's rush to judgment and rush to tick this up and breaking news alerts tells you what was really at play here. And this was feeding someone's narrative. And then when the facts change, they say, oh, this was bad. And to give some credit, some of the reporters on air said, we overdid this. This was wrong. This is a bad day for the media, which it was.
So the media is committed, by and large, to a pre-existing narrative, a pre-existing story. And it is grounded in fear and loathing of President Trump. And that is grounded in fear and loathing of many American people, particularly middle America. And so they are prepared to push a story, notwithstanding the special counsel's cautionary note suggesting that the story itself is false. BuzzFeed, as I understand it, has now doubled down on its falsehood. And I think they are prepared to maintain solidarity despite contrary reports from the special counsel's office.
BuzzFeed.
That is horrible news for the American people.
BuzzFeed said this: as we've reconfirmed our reporting, we've seen no indication that any specific aspect of our story is inaccurate. We remain confident in what we've reported and will share more as we're able. This was in response to the special counsel statement. This wasn't a statement from the president's legal team. This was a statement from Bob Mueller's office, supposed to be the gold standard in all this, according to all these sources. So there you have it. All right, we're taking a break. When we come back, we're going to take your calls. 1-800-684-3110. Then we're going to play you some of the statements by the reporters involved in this. 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. We're going to be back with more, including your phone calls, in just a moment.
Oh.
A Muslim medical doctor in training publicly threatened to, quote, purposely prescribe the wrong meds to Jewish patients. Laura Kalab, a first-year resident at the prestigious Cleveland Clinic, brazenly said, quote, Allah will kill the Jews. She called Jewish people, quote, dogs, and is brutally unsympathetic about the Holocaust. This anti-Semitism turns the Hippocratic Oath, quote, do no harm, on its head. Unsurprisingly, Kalab is part of the BDS, Boycott, Divestment, and Sanctions Movement, further exposing BDS for what it is, thinly veiled anti-Semitism. At the ACLJ, we've been aggressively fighting the BDS movement and these sickening attacks on the Jewish people in Israel. Now we're sending a formal complaint to the medical board in Ohio. Kalab and any other medical professional who espouses this deadly level of hatred for Jews should lose their medical license. Take action with us now. Add your name to our petition to stop vile anti-Semitic attacks on Jews. You can add your name online, aclj.org. It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Israel is facing unprecedented challenges. Enemies abound. ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran all pledge to wipe Israel from the face of the earth. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital, presents clear, irrefutable evidence to remove any doubt about Israel's right to exist. And the book dispels legal myths purported by Israel's enemies. Get your copy today, Jerusalem, a Biblical and Historical Case for the Jewish Capital. Available now at Amazon or Barnes & Noble.
Hey, welcome back. Taking your calls, 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. Let's go to Joe, who's calling from Midland, Texas. Joe, welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Oh, hey. Hi, Mr. Sekulow. Appreciate you taking my call.
Call me Jay.
I just had a quick question. I've seen so much of this stuff that's being aired by all the major news networks coming out in the papers, and I'm just curious, why is there no accountability? Isn't it libel or slander when you deliberately purport something false about somebody that's damaging to them?
The issue of libel and slander, you have to have because of the First Amendment gives a lot of protection to the press, which I understand. Believe me, I've been advocating for free speech protections for 40 years, 30 of those in front of the Supreme Court of the United States. So I'm a big advocate of a free press and freedom of speech and freedom of protest and the ability to engage these issues. So there's the First Amendment's overriding. So to be able to reach the threshold of a libel or defamation case, the knowledge of the falsity has to be laid at the feet of the reporting entity. Harry, you've taught this before as a law professor. It's a very high and very difficult standard.
Absolutely. So if you look at a law case labeled New York Times versus Sullivan, in that particular case, the United States Supreme Court established the precedent for bringing libel charges against a newspaper when the individual at issue is indeed a public figure. It is clear beyond question that the president is a public figure, and so the president would have to establish malice with respect to the issuance of these false statements. So that's an extremely difficult standard to obtain or to show in court. And so it's doubtful you can demonstrate that in court. So I think the president would be wasting his time if indeed he sued all of the journalists who are peddling false stories right and left.
We keep the lawyers even busier. We're pretty busy. So that's a different kind of lawyer that handle those kind of cases. But let me talk about the inconsistencies of this reporting. So this is important. So we talk about the knowledge of the falsity laid at the feet. So what did the reporters actually see? There are two reporters involved here, Anthony Cormier and Jason Leopold, the two reporters. Here's what Anthony Cormier said when asked by CNN about seeing the actual documents corroborating this.
Have you seen any of that other corroborating evidence?
No, I've not seen it personally, but the folks that we've talked to, the two officials that we've spoken to, are fully 100% read in to that aspect of the special counsel's investigation.
So have you seen the documentation, the evidence? No. But the two people that were evidently leaking to these guys, whoever they were, supposedly federal law enforcement, are 100% read into the situation. Well, that's interesting because his co-author had a little bit of a different take. This came out on MSNBC, number 12.
Your colleague, who you wrote the story with, says that neither of you, when you talk about those documents, that you guys haven't actually seen them. You haven't seen the documents, the texts, the emails, et cetera. So how confident are you that they actually exist, that this is true?
I don't think that we've said that we haven't seen them. But I will say that I'm very confident that they exist.
Your colleague said on CNN this morning that you were briefed on these documents by those law enforcement sources that you referenced. Can you clarify for me sort of what the status is of that?
I'll just say that we've seen documents, we've been briefed on documents, we're very confident in our reporting.
So either they saw documents or they didn't see documents. So Cormier says they did not see documents, Leopold says they did. And of course the special counsel doesn't really, I'm sure, cares what they saw because it was leaked documents, obviously they're concerned. And what these agents said, obviously that would concern everybody involved in this. But special counsel says whatever they saw, wrote, or described, documents, testimony, is inaccurate. So, but you just heard from the two reporters, one saying we did not see the documents, the other saying we did see the documents. And it's not both. Someone is not telling the truth. And it'll be interesting to see if now that might, I have to give this credit. I never do this. I was CNN on one and MSNBC on the other. Normally it doesn't happen. There you go. But the question is, are they going to be able to get away with it? That's, if you did that in the military in a report, you said I reviewed this and that, and you did not. What would happen to you, court martial?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, you cannot do that. Here's, you can't make this stuff up, Jay. BuzzFeed has a history, a real history of sensational headlines based on stories that ultimately are proven false. And thankfully, that reporter in that interview was being somewhat fair and balanced. But by and large, the mainstream media has not even attempted to hide their bias against this president. And to add insult to injury, Congress now wants to investigate a news story that is categorically false based on it being refuted by the special counsel's office. This is so strange. It's like Alice in Wonderland. You can't really make this stuff up.
Harry?
Well, I agree. But the other issue, it strikes me, is you have two reporters. They are trying to confirm publicly that they based the story on actual evidence. But in their attempt to confirm the story, they undercut their own approach to veracity because both of these reporters cannot be true, or at least both of these reports cannot be true. You either saw the documents or you didn't see the documents. And so I think it is clear beyond question that what they have done is that they have verified, inadvertently, of course, what the special counsel has said, that their reporting is indeed inaccurate. And it's also important to keep in mind that Mr. Leopold has a very mixed or vexed background with respect to journalism and the truth in the past. So I think it's important for our listeners to understand that the reporters in this case cannot even come up with a consistent storyline.
All right, Cheryl, on line two from Tennessee, you got a question? Go ahead, Cheryl.
Actually, I just have a comment. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I just think it's ridiculous that our congressmen, the senators and representatives, continue to let this thing go on and on and on. And I just feel like they need to stay in Washington. They shouldn't take any breaks or anything else unless they get the job done that they were sent to do. And if they can't do that, they need to either resign or be voted out of office.
Fan Bennett, Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Center for Law and Justice, what say you?
I think Cheryl said it well. Honestly, I do. Congress has some very sacred constitutional duties. And Jay, I would add to that, the House Intelligence Committee and specifically the chairman, he has some extra sacred constitutional duties to perform. I would suggest that a few of them that he should perform would be cracking down on these leaks that are coming from our law enforcement agencies. Maybe he should look into the fact that we're surveilling United States citizens using information we know to be fraudulent. Maybe he should look into the fact that the law enforcement agencies were using sources that they knew were not unreliable. reliable, rather than focusing on stories of political enemies when the people that have seen the documents, Jay, not reporters that can't decide whether they've seen them, the person who has seen the documents, the special counsel, his spokesman says they're not accurate. I think that's the constitutional duties that the Congress should focus on. And I agree with Cheryl. They shouldn't leave town until that's done, the government is open, and the border is secured.
Yeah, the president, we're going to talk about that tomorrow, what the president put on the table on that. All right, we're taking more calls. 1-800-684-3110. Let's go ahead. We can grab one more before the break here. Let's go to Art from Connecticut. Hi, Art.
Hi, Jay. Thank you for taking my call. Jay, it's clear that the media is run amok and is no longer an objective source for information. Can't the FCC either fine all these media stations or cancel their broadcast licenses? I could have sworn many, many years ago that was within the purview of the FCC.
No, the FCC can't do that, and it shouldn't be able to do that. I mean, this is like I said, look, how do you combat speech you disagree with more speech? So in other words, a false story narrative is out there. The special counsel's office comes out and says it's inaccurate. Then those people that think this is outrageous, what took place, go out and talk about it. And look, we're doing it right here. This is what you do. This is how you respond. The way you respond to speech you disagree with is with speech to persuade others that the other position is incorrect. Here, it's pretty self-evident. I'm going to do this when we come back from the break. And I'm going to play you both of those reporters bites again because it's so inconceivable, Harry, that they got away with this. Having said that, there's no First Amendment penalty, nor should there be. But how do you combat speech you disagree with? More speech.
Absolutely. So what the media has consistently done over the last 2 years or so is that they have diminished their reputation. So the American people should no longer trust the mainstream media. They continue to misreport news stories, particularly involving the president of the United States. Why do they do this? Because they are propelled by deep hatred of this particular president, and the American people should react to the media, and they should stop subscribing and patronizing them.
The most trusted institutions in our history are the media, you know, think of Walter Cronkite, Congress, and law enforcement, the FBI, and these institutions continue to damage their own reputations by their own hand, and their credibility suffers. But beyond that, the American people are disillusioned with these institutions.
Do you realize that, and following what Wes and Harry just said, you realize that according to BuzzFeed, they spoke to two federal law enforcement officers involved in the investigation. What does that tell you? First of all, they got the information wrong, but what does that tell you if that was true? We'll take your calls and comments when we come back at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. Back with more. Last segment, you can ask us anything. 800-684-3110. Be right back.
It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Israel is facing unprecedented challenges. Enemies abound. ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran all pledge to wipe Israel from the face of the earth. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital, presents clear, irrefutable evidence to remove any doubt about Israel's right to exist. And the book dispels legal myths purported by Israel's enemies. Get your copy today, Jerusalem, a Biblical and Historical Case for the Jewish Capital. Available now at Amazon or Barnes & Noble. A Muslim medical doctor in training publicly threatened to, quote, purposely prescribe the wrong meds to Jewish patients. Laura Kalab, a first-year resident at the prestigious Cleveland Clinic, brazenly said, quote, Allah will kill the Jews. She called Jewish people, quote, dogs, and is brutally unsympathetic about the Holocaust. This anti-Semitism turns the Hippocratic Oath, quote, do no harm, on its head. Unsurprisingly, Kalab is part of the BDS, Boycott, Divestment, and Sanctions Movement, further exposing BDS for what it is, thinly veiled anti-Semitism. At the ACLJ, we've been aggressively fighting the BDS movement and these sickening attacks on the Jewish people in Israel. Now we're sending a formal complaint to the Medical Board in Ohio. Kalab and any other medical professional who espouses this deadly level of hatred for Jews should lose their medical license. Take action with us now. Add your name to our petition to stop vile anti-Semitic attacks on Jews. You can add your name online, aclj.org.
Hour, that's for sure. Doug on Periscope said, do you think the Democrats in Congress will see any backlash or consequences for rushing into this, Than?
Well, you know, Wes said it in the last segment, Jay. I mean, the American people do have recourse. If you don't like the way your federal officials are behaving, you can vote them out at the ballot box. And by the way, if you don't like the way the media is covering something, you can change the channel as well. Will they have consequences? I don't know. Right now, Jay, I think Adam Schiff is making a political decision that he thinks this is politically popular for him to do. I think he actually might be incorrect on that. We'll have to see.
I think he might be too. Howard on Facebook says, people are way too quick to believe the media before gathering the facts. The mob culture has to end. Look, they're the ones who said, if it's true. I mean, I literally heard it hundreds of times. And then they go into this explanation on why this is so damaging. And then the special counsel comes out and say, well, it's inaccurate, so it's not true. And then BuzzFeed says, well, yes, it is, because we have two sources, federal law enforcement sources. By the way, very specifically, I want to play again to show you the nature of the reporting here. Did you see the documents? There are two reporters. One, yes, I did. The other, no, I did not. These are the same reporters. I mean, same article. Let's play number 21.
Have you seen any of that other corroborating evidence?
No, I've not seen it personally, but the folks that we've talked to, the two officials that we've spoken to, are fully 100% read in to that aspect of the special counsel's investigation.
Then the other reporter, Jason Leopold, asked the exact same question.
Your colleague, who you wrote the story with, says that neither of you, when you talk about those documents, that you guys haven't actually seen them. You haven't seen the documents, the texts, the emails, et cetera. So how confident are you that they actually exist, that this is true?
I don't think that we've said that we haven't seen them. But I will say that I'm very confident that they exist.
Your colleague said on CNN this morning that you were briefed on these documents by those law enforcement sources that you referenced. Can you clarify for me sort of what the status is of that?
I'll just say that we've seen documents, we've been briefed on documents, we're very confident in our reporting.
We've seen documents, we've been briefed on documents, we're confident in our reporting. That's one. The other one, no, I have not seen personally, but folks that we've talked to, two officials that we've spoken to, fully 100% read into that aspect of the special counsel's inquiry. So no wonder Bob Mueller actually issued a report. All right, let's go to Dave, who's calling from Florida on line one. Hi, Dave.
Yeah, hi, Jay. Doing a great job.
Thanks.
My comment and question is, if this is Adam Schiff's conclusion towards the special counsel findings, what will he say if the special counsel exonerates Trump of any wrongdoing?
They will never accept. I mean, I think you just saw what would happen. You got a taste of what would happen. If that report came out, by the way, the regulations say this, because I know there's been a lot of confusion on this. Here's what the special counsel's regulations say. At the conclusion of the special counsel's work, he or she shall provide the attorney general with a confidential report explaining the prosecution or declination decisions reached by the special counsel. Goes to the attorney general. It's confidential. Then the attorney general nominee, Bill Barr, said he would then determine what would be released pursuant to the rules and regulations. But what if it was that the president was not in collusion with Russia? What is it going to be if the special counsel says that? Harry, they're not going to believe it. That's what. They're not going to accept it.
They will not accept it. They will perhaps not believe it because they are not necessarily prepared to believe evidence that appears right in front of their eyes. They are so committed to this narrative. They are so committed to opposing President Trump that they will deny contrary evidence, even if it comes from the special counsel's office, even though they have defended the special counsel's office in the past. They will then see the special counsel as perhaps the new enemy.
Yeah. Wes?
Yeah, I mean, they do not want to be confused with the facts. You know, this it's a different subject matter, but think of it. 2 weeks ago, whenever the Department of Homeland Security was trying to brief the Democratic leaders in Congress in the White House Situation Room, Nancy Pelosi said, I don't agree with your facts. How can you disagree with facts? You're entitled to an opinion. You're not entitled to your own facts. But what we're witnessing with both the left and the mainstream media is animosity and bias based strictly on politics. And they operate, Jay, in an echo chamber so that Congress and many of the media outlets, they repeat each other's narratives and they repeat each other's, you know, mantras, if you will. And what happens is truth and objectivity, they're the victims.
Yeah, no question.
As well as the trust of the American people.
No question about that. All right, we're going right back to our phones. Laurie's calling from California. Laurie, go ahead.
Hi, Jay. Thanks for taking my call. I agree 100% with your last caller. And I have to say, I lost my daughter over this last night. And this isn't news. It's propaganda. And at what point does freedom of speech override a propaganda trying to take over this nation? You got a 16-year-old kid now who's getting death threats over a fake news story.
Yeah, here's what you look, the level of angst on this is elevated to the highest levels I've seen in modern history, although it was not to the levels it was during our founding generation, I'll tell you that. Read the comments between Jefferson and Madison when they're fighting Monroe. I mean, it's you're talking about treasonous. I mean, these guys were this is mild compared to that, but you didn't have the media access like you do now. So that's part of the factor. So look, this is part of America. This is part of the experience. This is part of what it means to live in a constitutional republic. But everybody needs to knock it down a notch. And I think after this fiasco in the media, you think they would knock it down a notch. Betty's calling from Texas. Betty, welcome to the broadcaster on the air.
Hi, Jay. Thanks for taking my call. My question is similar to the one lady that just called. But I'm not sure I understand why there can't be some type of regulation over the media, not the opinion people. They have the right to say anything they want to. But if they're reporting it as news, we need to be able to trust that it is news, that it's actual factual. And even if the penalty is nothing more than a banner that says this is opinion across the screen or over the statement.
Well, here's the thing. I get all that. But let me play for you, tell you how political this is. This is Martha Raddatz on ABC This Week with George Stephanopoulos, usually hosted by George Stephanopoulos. The guest was Senator Kirsten Gillibrand, who's about to now or has set up her exploratory committee for president. Listen, that's a good question by Martha. Here it is, number two.
Did Democrats seize on that report too quickly?
The report is highly concerning, Martha. It just shows more evidence that perhaps this president did obstruct justice. It shows
even though the special counsel disputes it?
Martha, it raises a question in my mind that is very serious. And so what we need is Mueller to be able to finish his investigation.
And it will make no, if in that investigation, if it comes out, which the facts, in my view, without question, will show that there was no collusion between the president and Russia and all of this nonsense. If that is all put out there and the special counsel's office actually says no evidence of that aspect of collusion with the president, they're not going to accept it, Than Bennett. They're not.
Well, no.
You're already seeing it.
He just told you that. He said that he's got his own conclusion. He's trying to now make the facts or things that aren't even facts fit that narrative because the person with authority said the description of specific statements and the characterization of documents and testimonies obtained was not accurate. And, Jay, that was reason for Adam Schiff to say, I'm still investigating.
Senator Gillibrand wants to do it, too. All right, that does it for the broadcast today. That was one quick hour, I have to say. All right, tomorrow we're going to get into some of the shutdown issue. I'm sure we'll be talking about this as well. What does the offer mean? Talk about that. A lot going on in Washington. Take your calls tomorrow as well. Don't forget, connect with the ACLJ, Facebook, Periscope. You should be getting our tweets. Follow our Twitter feeds, at Jay Sekulow, at Jordan Sekulow, at ACLJ. Same thing on Facebook. I've got a page. Jordan has a page. ACLJ has a page. We encourage you to do all that. And visit the website of the ACLJs and get our email alerts. You can sign up for those at aclj.org. We'll talk with you tomorrow.
A Muslim medical doctor in training publicly threatened to, quote, purposely prescribe the wrong meds to Jewish patients. Laura Kalab, a first-year resident at the prestigious Cleveland Clinic, brazenly said, quote, Allah will kill the Jews. Kalab and any other medical professional who espouses this deadly level of hatred for Jews should lose their medical license. Take action with us now. Add your name to our petition to stop vile anti-Semitic attacks on Jews. You can add your name online, aclj.org.